Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome again to Nothing But the Truth with Truth Deliverance Ministry and your host, yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce. Thank you again for joining us on this week as we come to you with another nugget of God's Word and God's truth on today. Of course, we're standing on the scripture that Jesus said that His truth will make you free. And so as we believe in God's truth and search God's word for nuggets of truth for our everyday lives, thank you so much for joining us once again. We wanted to share with you on today our word that we gave to Truth Deliverance Ministry even on Sunday. And the thing that I had talked with one of my coworkers about was a problem that's in our society. And we were talking and we were discussing the fact that there appears to be in our society another Trinity. Of course, we know that the true Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And we know that they that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We know that Jesus came. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. We also know that the Word of God tells us that Jesus said that it is expedient for us that He go away, for if He go not away, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit would not come. And so we understand that that is the true Trinity that should be even exemplified in the house of God on today. But instead, there is another Trinity. Most people have gone through some kind of hurt. They've taken some kind of pain. They've been taken advantage of in many situations and circumstances. And it gets to a point in our life when we feel like if we give an inch, people will take a yard. When we try to go above and beyond, people try to take us to infinity and beyond. So what we do is that we shut down. It's a natural instinct, but we shut down. And it, because it's a natural instinct, we do it and we feel like we're justified in our doing. We feel like we're justified in safeguarding ourselves, if you will, from those. But we're not just natural beings. We are spiritual beings. And so we must do those things, of course, that is going to bring life, that's going to bring truth to God and to God's word. And so we have to get out of this thing when we are hurt, when we're in pain, when we feel like we're being taken advantage of. We get a mindset of it's me, myself, and I. That's the other Trinity that we seem to take on. We seem to get a mindset that is my four and no more. And that's not what God would have us to do. And so in the Word of God, we want to turn to those of you that have your Bibles. We want to look at Mark 8 chapter, the 8th chapter. We want to look at the 35th and the 36th verse. Mark 8th chapter, verse 35 and 36. And just for additional reference, you'll find this scripture also in Matthew 16, 24 through 25, and you'll find it again in Luke 9, 23 and 24. But for our purpose on today, we want to look at the scripture that's listed in Mark 8, 35 and 36. And the Word of God reads as thus: "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" A very familiar passage of scripture. And so as we begin to look at the scripture, as we begin to look at our hurt, we have to begin to get out of that mindset that it's me, myself, and I. Me against the world. I understand that in a natural sense, most people will tell you that self-preservation is the first law of nature, that it's okay for us to just try to do it ourselves. It's okay for us to just try to cover us and take care of us. But that's not our responsibility as the children of God. As the children of God, we have to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways, we have to acknowledge God, and He will direct our path. And so as we begin to look at that, today is the day of execution. Today is the day when we need to look and begin to kill ourselves, because the Bible and the Word of God that we just read, it said that if a man will lose his life, if he will lose his life, that's how his life is going to be saved, that he has to first die to himself. There has to be an execution of our flesh. There has to be an execution in our mortal body in order for us to get to the place that God would have us to get to. And so today is the day of execution. So what does it mean to deny ourselves? The Greek word for deny, I'm not going to even try to enunciate it, but it's A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. And being interpreted, it means to disallow, that you have to disallow yourself to take control. You have to disallow your emotions to come into play and priority. You have to disallow. You have to choose to restrain or to restrict yourself. You have to choose to suppress the expression of something. You know, when people hurt your feeling and you really want to tell them what you think, come on, somebody. We have to suppress those emotions and begin to say what God says that we should say. You know, I had a conversation with somebody on Facebook not too long ago, and, you know, we have this expression. We'll say, I like you. I love you, but I don't like you. I love you, but I don't like you. And I've always wondered in my own sanctified mind, how is it that we can tell somebody that we love them and yet we don't like them? In order for us to have root to love, we have to begin to like somebody. Yes, the Bible says that we should love our enemies. And sometimes, yes, it's hard to not be agreeable with a person whom their disposition is other than what we would desire. But we have to learn that even in our walk, even in our growth with people, we have to learn how to become agreeable. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? That you have to come into a place of agreement. And what I found out when I looked up the word like, it said that in order for you to like a person, you have to have like-mindedness. You have to be agreeable. There are things that you have in common with that person in order for you to like them. And so, yeah, we can jump and say to help ourselves or to cover ourselves and say we love a person, but we don't like them. But at some point in time, there should be some root that grows onto that, and we should begin to like them as well. And so as we begin to look at the word to deny ourselves, we understand that it's a volitional denial. In other words, it's something that we voluntarily begin to do. We voluntarily say that I'm going to deny myself. We voluntarily sign up for the fact that we're going to deny ourselves. We have to have a cognitive mind to say that I'm going to deny myself and do it the way God would have me to do it, which is something that we're not doing much of in the body of Christ. That's why we have all of the disagreements and all the things. Everybody trying to get what they want, as opposed to saying we have to deny ourselves and put Jesus Christ, Him being crucified, resurrected, risen and coming again, to the forefront of the agenda. But instead, everybody's trying to do what they want to do. Everybody's trying to do what makes them feel good. Everybody's trying to do it their own way. This is not, what is it, Burger King, where you can have it your way. That's not the mindset that God would have in the body of Christ. Oh, my God, to glory. So we have to voluntarily say that I'm going to deny my flesh. I'm going to deny what I want in order that Christ will shine in and through me. So today is the day of execution. It's the day of killing our flesh. To deny oneself, again, is voluntarily, whereby we choose not to have an expression of selfishness. It's a selfish, not to have an expression of selfishness, but to be selfless, to deny ourselves in that our behavior is going to show Christ. We have to volunteer not to be stingy. We have to volunteer to give until it hurts. There's a scripture in the Bible says that if a man asks you for your coat, give him your cloak also. Go that extra mile. Go that extra mile in order that you're killing yourself. That's what Jesus did. Jesus, he denied himself. He denied himself. He did a selfless act when he went to the cross on your behalf and on my behalf. He hadn't done anything, but he was willing to die to himself in order that we might have an opportunity to live again and to reign again with the Father, in order that we might have an opportunity to have a relationship with God the Father. Jesus Christ did the act of dying in spite of the fact he took on your sins and my sins. And we don't even want to do things in that somebody else will shine. We want to always shine. We've got that, the old people used to say, that crab mentality where we're pulling people down in order to make ourselves shine. But in the scripture again, in the scripture in Mark, it said that in order for you to live, whoever desires to save his life would lose it. When you're trying to save your life, when you're trying to shine, when you're trying to be the big star, you're going to lose something. But whoever loses his life, whoever executes his flesh, whoever executes himself, come on, somebody. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he said, you'll save it. You'll save your life. Okay? For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? And we are such in such a mentality of trying to get everything we can. You know, it's all about me. I got mine. You got to get yours. You know, I'm saved and you got to get saved and whatever it takes for us. But we've got to begin to expand our mindset to do it the way the Father would have us to do it. And the way the Father would have us to do it is to care more about others. The book of Philippians said to not to just seek yourself. Let me see, where is it at? In Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Those of you that have your Bible. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 3 and 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give me a second. I'm getting it. 2, 3, and 4. Says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be in the body of Christ? My God, if we started putting others before ourselves, if we started thinking about others, I am blessed to say that at Truth Deliverance Ministry, the membership, we're always thinking about each other. We don't have a church van, so we have to carpool and get the membership to church. We do what's necessary. We deny ourselves and do what's necessary to get those to Christ, to get those to church, to fellowship together, to worship together. We do what's necessary. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would think about others more than we think about ourselves? And that's what the Word of God is telling us to do. We've got to kill that other trinity. We've got to kill that other trinity of me, myself, and I. Amen. So denying ourselves is also a part of sanctification. You know, when you say that you're sanctified, you've learned how to kill your flesh. You're learning that even as Paul said, I die daily. Every day he has to kill a part of himself. Every day he has to kill a part of him. I die daily. How many of you listening to me today can truly say that every day you die daily? Some part of you that is not like God is executed. Executed. And there's no stay for that thing. Oh, my God. But you executing it. Every day you get into a point of saying, well, let me do this. Even when you're tired, you go that extra mile. You go that extra distance for your sister or for your brother. Hallelujah. How many of you right now, even in hearing the words of my voice, you need to repent because you know that you haven't done that. At some point in time, you put yourself first. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I got mine. I don't understand why she together before ourselves. Now, that's what we have to do. There are no ifs, and buts about it. That's what the Word of God says, and that's what we have to do. So, I want to read for you in Galatians 5, verses 17 through 21, and it's quite lengthy, but give me a few minutes, and what I want you to do is I want you to write down the same scripture. I want you to write down the same scripture, and at some point, I want you to go back and get it. Harvey, you got it already. Galatians 5, verses 17 through 21. I appreciate you. This car working together. Galatians 5, starting at verse 17. And verse 17, I'm going to read 16 just because. Okay, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are this, which are adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I want you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so he's giving you a list of things. He's giving you a list of things that worketh in our flesh, a list of things we think about doing, putting things. We feel like it's amazing to me that he has like drunkenness. He has sorcery. He has hatred, strife, jealousy, things that we find in the body of Christ. And we feel like we're justified in doing it. But he said, these that do these things, they are not worthy. You will not see the kingdom of God. And so as I was reading it, I'm wondering how many of those things can you say you checked off? Have you found jealousy in you? Have you found envy in you? Have you found strife and dissension in you? Come on, somebody. Have you found rage or outburst of anger and things of that nature? In another translation, it said outburst of anger, where the simplest things make you angry. He said these things shouldn't be found in you. And so as we begin to look at that and even go further in putting on the 22nd verse, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. Against such there is no law. We've got to begin to exemplify and show God's love, show God's joy in whatever state I'm in. Paul said, therewith to be content. How many of us can say that we're content in every situation that has come our way? How many of us can say that the joy of the Lord is our strength and that we have joy in situations and circumstances that come against us, that when people talk about us and drag our name through the mud, we still got joy? How many of us can say that, or do we burst out in fits of anger? These are the things that let you know that your flesh has not been executed, that there needs to be a day of execution. And so as we begin to look at that, I'm not going to be able to go into it in detail, but I want you to read Romans 7 and 15. That's a very, very misinterpreted scripture. That's the scripture that says those things that I would do, I do not, and those things that I should not do, those are the things that I do. And we go back, and people have used that particular scripture or that particular verse of the Bible to try to give themselves a green light to be able to do wrong. But even in that verse, when they were expounding on that verse, that what the writer was trying to tell us is that when your flesh is in control, the things that you should do, you don't do. When your flesh is in control, because further down he begins to talk to you and tell you that Jesus Christ came so that you don't have to do the things that you would not do. Come on, somebody. You don't have to do the things that you would do and you don't do. You don't have to go that anywhere. Those things should not be a factor in the life of the Christian, in the life of those of us who are walking in the admonition of God. And so as we begin to give answer to that, he gives the answer in verse 20 and verse 25. And then it goes on into Romans 8 chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be condemned by the stuff that we don't do or we do that is not of God, because there's no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. And in the 11th verse, he goes on to say, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that spirit dwells in you. And you should find yourself leading a defeated life. You should find yourself leading a life of victory, because that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the Most High God, dwells in you. Oh, my God, to glory. And so as we begin to look at those things, we have to begin to say that God is more than able to do some things in us, that if we will begin this day of execution and kill our flesh, kill those things that are not like God, kill selfishness, begin to have the mind of Christ, that you put the deeds and the wants and the desires of others before your own self, that you're looking out for your fellow man and assisting him. So the scripture in Romans 7 is not there to give you permission to sin, not even a little bit. It is there to let you know you have not totally surrendered to God if that is what is taking place in your life. It is there to let you know that you need a day of execution, that you need to kill your flesh. And so as we look at these last few minutes of our time and we begin to reflect, I'm asking that you would begin to look at your life and begin to write down some things. Even on Sunday, we wrote down the things that we found that we were still dealing with. Unforgiveness. We wrote down some things, heresies and contention and those things that we listed in the scripture, the things that you're finding out that you're still walking in those things. As we begin to look at those things, write them down. Begin to write them down and yield them over to God. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. God, these are the things that I need you to take out of me. Help me not to envy. Help me not to be jealous of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me not to have a spirit of idolatry where if somebody, one person gets something, I got to go out and try to get a bigger something. Come on, somebody. Help me, God, to be able to have the mind of Christ, that I think more highly of my brothers and sisters than I do even myself. Help me to be like Christ. That in spite of the fact that he was holy and without blemish, he took our sins upon him, yes, even to the cross. Because he deemed us more highly than he did his own self. He loved the Father enough that he said, okay, I'm going to take their sins upon me. Love your brothers and sisters enough to say, I'm going to think more highly of you than I do even of myself. I'm going to kill me, myself, and I. So I want you to write it down. Write down the things that you're having issues with. Write down the things that you're having problems with. Write down the things in your mind, hallelujah, Jesus, your mindset that is taking control of you and it's not the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So as you write those things down, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer. These next 6 minutes, we're going to pray. And then when we complete our prayer, I want you to tear that paper up and I want you to throw it in the garbage can. Throw it away. And let this be the beginning of a new birth in you, a new mindset in you, that old things will be passed away and behold, all things will become new. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I lift up these, my sisters and brothers in Christ who are on the line, who are listening in, Father God, we found some things in us. We've searched us. Your Holy Spirit has searched us. And we found some things in us that are not like you, Father. And we're writing these things down, God, that you would begin to take them away, oh Lord God. We bind the enemy, God, that would try to have us to have a mind of selfishness, oh Lord God. We bind the enemy that would try to make us have a mind of idolatry, oh God. We bind the enemy, oh Lord God, that would try to make us have a mind of witchcraft, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we lift these things up to you that we've written down on this piece of paper, oh Lord God. We lift them up to you, oh Lord God, because your word says in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to make our request known unto you. So we're making it known to you, God, that we have identified some things in us that are not like you, God. Now, God, we ask that you would wash us, cleanse us, oh Lord God, and take these things away, God, that we'll be a better instrument for you to use in the kingdom, a better instrument for you to use for your glory, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift these things up, that you will remove them from us, oh God. The guile, oh Lord God, the hatred, oh Lord God, the self-centeredness, God, take it away now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, now that old things are being passed away. The things that we have listed are being passed away. The day of execution is being killed, oh Lord God. And the resurrection of the Most High God is being raised up in us now in the name of Jesus Christ. We are becoming new. Our attitude is becoming new, God. Oh, the joy of the Lord is being returned to us, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for it right now, God. Now, God, we lift your name up above every name that is to be named. For it is that name that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that you are Lord of lords and you are King of kings. So we thank you, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, for washing us and making us new in you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We thank you and we bless your holy and your divine name. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Now I need you to tear that paper up. Tear it up. Tear it up as a symbol that those things are behind you. And behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. We thank God for the day of execution of the other Trinity, me, myself, and I. And we thank you now that it has been dethroned. And we're putting the Trinity, hallelujah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, we're putting them back in full reign in our lives, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus we pray, and we thank him that it is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. You have been listening to Nothing But the Truth with Truth Deliverance Ministry. Your hostess is Pastor Katie Pierce. At this time, I'm going to relinquish the mic over to my sister in Christ, and she's going to be coming to you, Evangelist Yvonne Hosey. She's going to be coming to you next with Breaking Beyond the Walls. Breaking Beyond the Wall. Please hear her as she comes. Until next week, may God's greatest and God's best be yours.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul and all. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to witness before your people on today. Last week, Breaking Beyond the Walls came before you, and we were talking about self-hatred and hatred towards others. Hatred towards others and self-hatred. And how to break the barriers and the walls of self-hatred and hatred towards others. And on today, God began to deal with me, and he began to let me know that there was another process to breaking beyond the barriers of self-hatred and hatred and finding purpose. He began to let me know that it was another process to the breaking of the walls of self-hatred and hatred. And on today, we're going to discuss the other process. And John 1 and 9 says, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And the process, the other process to breaking beyond the barriers of self-hatred and hatred, God said that the process was cleaning up the residue, prepping for a new foundation. And I know now you're saying, well, what is cleaning up the residue? God began to let me know that there was a purpose for cleaning up this residue, because what he began to show me was that if there was any sign of residue left behind, it would be like a seed replanted, and it will give forth another harvest. So God began to let me know that the cleanup is necessary and mandatory. Self-hatred and hatred towards others or towards yourself is an enemy that we choose and don't want to see ever again. The cleanup process is mandatory, even in our thoughts, our words and decisions, because what God began to let me know was that it can impact our atmosphere if the cleanup is not done and if it's not done promptly. And he began to let me know that in order to be free and delivered and made whole, all detours must be closed off that will and can prevent us from being clearly led of and by the Spirit. God has given us what I want to call the purpose busters. The purpose busters. And the purpose busters that he showed me was in Isaiah 58 and 6. He began to show me these purpose busters and what it was in it, that he wants us to be free of, so that we can love and walk in our purpose with the expectation of his promise. And it reads like this in Isaiah 58 and 6, and it says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? And here, the bonds of wickedness that's being spoke of is the wrongdoings and sin and the hate, whether it be toward yourself or whether it be towards others. And God began to let me know that's still a sin. And when I think of sin, I hear it as anything that keeps you from growing in Christ or keeps you from being transformed and changed from glory to glory, or anything that diminishes your true self. And putting off this cleaning process, which is our freedom, what you need to know can cause stagnation. And where there is stagnation, you need to know that there is death. Hallelujah. And on today, I just want you to take a part in this second process of being free from self-hatred and hatred. And I include myself in this. I give God full permission on today to begin the cleaning process so that he may create an environment of liberty, freedom, an atmosphere free from condemnation. You need to know that you have the power and the authority to shut the enemy down. Yes. Jesus. We have the power and the authority to shut the enemy down. And we have the power and the authority to cast down the lies and the deceitfulness, the way the enemy is coming in, saying that you don't need nobody and, you know, it's all right to be that way, because if you don't, they're going to walk over you. They're going to take advantage of you. But God is saying that they can't take advantage of you and walk over you, because the least that they've done unto you, they've done it unto me. And they're not doing it to you. They're doing it unto the God that's in you. So on today, we have to replace those toxic thoughts and polluted mindset with the light of the truth, which is Jesus, from the Word of God about who we truly are in Christ. Ha, Jesus. We can't clean the house and not refurnish the house. We must put on the mind of Christ. We must put on the mind of Christ, and that's found in 1 Corinthians 2:16, and 1 Peter 4:1-2 says, for whoever having the mind of Christ is done with intentional sin, self-hatred, hatred, has stopped pleasing himself and the world, but now pleasing God. 2 Peter 1:5-7 says, supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patience, endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Even yourself. We must clean the house by sweeping up and out any impure motives or stray attention. Pay attention to how these things you harbor within your heart affects your words and your behaviors, and it also affects the life of your soul. And know that in this cleanup process of the residue, there's a renewing and a restoration that takes place. And this will be a time to rest in him. Jeremiah 31:25 says that. And this is God's will concerning you. Your refreshment and rest is a priority to him. He said, I'll refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired souls. And now that the cleanup process is almost complete, huh? You've started to refurnish the house, your temple, with the word and the truth. You must now keep it clean and pursue the truth from the inside out. And the word says inside out and into me, and then conceive a new true life. That's Psalms 51:6. And then John 14:15 says, he'll provide another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. And this friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him. And it doesn't know what to look for. And I just want you to know that what God was sharing with me, he said that I am love. And we are to wait on the Spirit of Truth, because love and truth go hand in hand. And it brings balance. Psalms 40:11. Your guilt is banished through love and truth. Proverbs 16:6. Love and truth forms good leaders, and sound leadership is founded on love and integrity. Proverbs 20:28. And this is the foundational key to living authentically, is love and truth. Now the cleaning process is complete. We have to always speak with love and truth. We have to always exemplify love and truth. We must always uphold love and truth. And we must stand on love and the truth. And last but not least, we must always live love and the truth. Amen. So now the cleaning process is complete. And I pray that you have found something that has been said, and that you have found the liberty and the freedom that was needed to become free, and that you can now look in the mirror, and that you can begin to love yourself because of the God that's in you. And now you can see yourself the way that God sees you, and not the way that man sees you. So now, you should be able to look in the mirror and see the image of Christ in you. So now we're going to turn this back over to our pastor, KP, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We were just, you know, kind of laughing at how Holy Spirit cohesively put the two lesson plans together and showed the connection between the fact of truth and the connection with your seeing a good image of who Christ is in you. And so on today, as we've shared the things about truth, as we shared about killing me, myself, and I, and how you have to now build up your self-image, and that self-image is not yourself, but it's the image of Christ that is in you. And so as you begin to do, you know, the old saying, the old adage was this, is that whatever I feed the most is going to be the strongest. And so if you feed your flesh the most, your flesh is going to be strong. But if we would learn how to begin to feed the Spirit of the Most High God in us, my God, to glory. If we, he said he's given us a mirror. He's given us a mirror, but the mirror is not that it should reflect you. The mirror is so that it can reflect him. Come on, somebody. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? We say that when you look in the mirror, you should actually see Jesus Christ, him crucified, resurrected, coming again, now sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Hey, God to glory. And so as you begin to do those things, that she's given you the process of beginning to kill that self-hatred so that you can begin to love yourself and see yourself as God sees you. Amen. These are the things that we are beginning to look at. And so we thank God for our own evangelist, Yvonne Hosier, for the word that has been released to you on today. We are still trying to get some kinks out of how we're setting up. And so on next week, again, she's going to precede me. She's going to precede me on the air on next week. But again, we're getting glitches out of our own system. It's not the system. It's actually those who are using the system who has the glitches. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. And so as we begin to get the glitches out so that this formation can come the way that it has been stipulated. But I do say that things have been going well. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at Truth Deliverance Ministry with a Y at yahoo.com. You can email us your questions. You can email us your comments and things of those natures. Please, like us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Truth Deliverance Ministry on Facebook. Please like us. I believe that Breaking Beyond the Wall also has an email address, and it is the same, breakingbeyondthewalls@yahoo.com. I'm not sure if she set up a Facebook page, but like her on Facebook. I don't think I've had an opportunity to like her on Facebook. So like her on Facebook as well. We look forward again, and thanks to you for calling in and joining in on this duo, the dynamic duo, for the last couple of Mondays. We've been walking in, but we do look forward to you spreading the word even more so that we are on the air. Please spread the word that we are on the air. We look forward to hearing from you also this coming Thursday as we go forth with the word, with breaking the silence. Breaking the Silence of Domestic Violence. So our Hope Alliance, Inc., a nonprofit organization that God had birthed in me, will be on the air on this coming Thursday at... Thank you. From 7:30 to 8 o'clock on this Thursday. So we look forward to hearing from you on the line as well. Again, thank you so much for being with us. Again, we look forward to hearing from you on next week, starting at 7 o'clock. Evangelist Hosey will be on the air, Breaking Beyond the Walls, from 7 to 7:15. And then we'll come on the air after her from... Thank you again. Until we meet again, may God's greatest and God's best be yours. Have a good night, everyone.